Philippians chapter 1 in your Bible tonight. Philippians chapter 1. We'll read these great verses written here by the Apostle Paul, beginning with verse 21 and reading down through verse 24. 21 through 24, chapter 1, book of Philippians. Find your place there. And we're going to enjoy a special after we read tonight. Father and Son, Steve and Paul, are going to come sing for us. That'll be a blessing. We will enjoy that. Let's stand together, please. Read these responsively. Please join me on the even-numbered verses 22 and 24, and I'll read 21 and 23, Philippians chapter 1. Paul wrote here, For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait, betwixt two, having a desire to depart, and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Thank you, dear Lord, for these verses in your book. Thank you for Paul's honesty about his being between in this difficult place, choosing life or death. Lord, I thank you so much that we have the hope of heaven. We're headed that way. Pray the message tonight will be a comfort, great blessing to those in this room. Speak to hearts. If there's somebody here tonight who's not saved, I pray that the Spirit of God will prick their conscience and convict them and show them, dear God, their need of salvation. We'll thank you now. Bless the song and the message to follow in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, BC.
Oh, His grace is sufficient for me. Joy fills my soul just to know that His grace is sufficient for me. Many times I've tried and tested as I travel day by day. Oft I meet with pain and sorrow, and there's trouble in the way. But I have a sweet assurance that my soul the Lord will lead, and in Him there is strength for every need. And His grace is sufficient for me, and His love is abundant and free. What joy fills my soul just to know that His grace is sufficient for me. When the tempter brings confusion and I don't know what to do, on my knees I turn to Jesus, for I know He'll see me through. Then despair is changed to victory, every doubt just melts away, and in Him there is hope for every day. Joy fills my soul just to know that His grace is sufficient for me. And what joy fills my soul just to know that His grace is sufficient for me.
Fellas, I enjoyed that. They were singing solo there. It was hard to tell which was Steve, which was Paul, wasn't it? That was good. Paul, I can't tell you how excited your daddy was about singing with you tonight. I mean, he was pumped about it. And that's fun. And a good song tonight. Amen. I want to speak on the subject headed toward heaven. Headed towards heaven. That's what Paul was talking about here. And I want to be a blessing to you tonight. Thank you, dear Lord, for your grace. Thank you that it is sufficient. And thank you, Lord, it'll be sufficient when we come down to the end. If you have us leave this world by way of the grave, and we linger, as Dr. Garris is, knowing that his time is imminent to go to heaven, thank you that your grace is sufficient in that hour as well. What a joy to know that. Help this lesson, message, to be a blessing to hearts in this room, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name, and amen. Many people people believe that Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter to the church at Philippi. Verse number 16 makes a reference to his imprisonment. He talks about somebody that's preaching with kind of the wrong motive there in Philippi. And he says, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. So the word bonds there is a reference to his shackles, his imprisonment. Now, Paul made an amazing statement in verse number 21. He says here, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, you know, the truth of the matter is, Paul really had no preference as to whether he lived or died. He didn't really have a preference. To him, it was difficult to choose between the two, to choose between living or dying. Now, one might think, well, if death were gain to him, like he said it is, he would be weary of life and impatient for death. But that wasn't the case. We're not talking about a suicidal man here. We're not talking about that at all. We're not talking about a man, oh, I'm just so weary and tired of my life, and I'm so bowed down with these troubles and burdens, and he was in jail when he wrote this. But don't get that attitude out of this. You know, well, I'm just ready to go to heaven. That's not how he was. He was not suicidal. You see it in verse number 22. He said at the end of verse 21, to die is gain. But then he qualified that. He said, but now wait a minute. If I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. What's he talking about? If I live in the flesh, he said, now, to die would be gain, but if I live, if I stay on this earth, if I stay alive down here, this is the fruit of my labor. The fruit of his labor was the advancement of the person and cause of Christ to people everywhere he went. That was his life. For Paul to live was Christ. To preach Christ, to witness about Christ, to see people get saved and baptized following Jesus Christ, start churches that would go out and reach other places for Christ. Christ was Paul's life. He said, don't get the idea here that I'm suicidal. I'm tired of my life. Give up on it and everything. He said, no. If I live, he said, this is the fruit of my labor. I'm enjoying my life. I mean, Paul said, I've got a great life. I get to preach about Jesus. I get to preach about Jesus from the palace to the prison. I get to see people saved. I get to preach the cross. I'm not impatient for death. Paul said, I enjoy my life. Then look what he said at the end of verse 22. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. He said, but the choice for me between life or death is so difficult. I'm not suicidal. I don't mind living. I enjoy living. Got a great life. Get to preach Christ, win souls, see people baptized, churches started. I'm not suicidal, but Paul said, I'm honest with you. If I had to choose between death and life, it'd be a difficult choice. Look why he said that. He said, if I was pushed to make a choice, verse 23, I'm in a strait betwixt two. It's a tough spot between a rock and a hard place. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Now, he says, if you back me in a corner and say, okay, Paul, if you had to make a choice between life and death, what would it be? He said, my inclination would be to choose death. Isn't that something? That was his inclination. He didn't call it death. He called it what? Departure. He used that word twice. He used that word over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. For I am now ready to be offered at the time of my departure. Is at hand. Hey, child of God, it's not death. It's departure. It's goodbye world, hello heaven. That quick. That's what it is for each of us that are saved. So Paul said, you know, my goodness, you know, he said, if you if you pushed me in a corner and said, okay, Paul, if you had to make a choice between life and death, even though you enjoy your life, for you to live as Christ and preach in Christ and win souls and start churches and you like your life, if you had to make a choice, if you had to make a choice, what would it be? He said, I'd lean toward death because, man, to depart and be with Christ is far better. But then he said, if I stay here, verse number 24. And by the way, before I go on here, let me remind you that Paul had no wife or no children. Paul had no wife, no children. And he talked about that in 1 Corinthians. He talked about the fact that, man, if you don't marry, you're free to give your whole life to God. But if you marry, you better take care of your wife. You have to take care of your wife and family. He might not have been so quick to say he'd choose death if he'd had a wife and children to take care of. But he's on his own. Then he said in verse number 24, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He said to depart and be with the one I am preaching about is far better. Well, think about it, folks. Is it better to sit in Illinois and talk about the beautiful Rocky Mountains in Colorado or go there and see it for yourself? Yeah, let's go. Amen. Is it better to sit in Illinois and talk about Niagara Falls, how magnificent they are, or go there and see it for yourself? Is it better to sit in Illinois and talk about Hawaii, or is it better to go and be there and enjoy Hawaii? Well, of course, to depart and be there would be far better. Paul said, it's great being here on earth, preaching Christ and talking about Jesus and winning souls to Jesus, but to be honest with you, to leave here and go there and be with Him, you can't beat that. That's far better. What an attitude about departing, amen. An attitude about death. But he said, for you folks that are left here, he said, really, for you folks in Philippi and other people, it's probably better if I stay here. I can be of some usefulness to you. He's caught between the two. He's headed towards heaven. Not there. And by the way, he wrote this. He was older in life. He wouldn't live much longer than when he wrote this right here. And he was really betwixt the two. And he said that. I'm in a strait betwixt the two. Tough choice. But that was his heart on this thing. Now, we've been talking and asking you to pray for Brother Ron Garris because he's been lingering. He was told, sent home from the hospital and under the care of hospice and given 2 weeks to live. And he's had some good days. He's had some bad days. No more chemo, no more radiation, no more of that. Just what the Lord wills now. And Brother Woodward over here in Dwight has been a very close friend of Brother Garris's. Brother Garris has probably been to his church, I don't know how many years in a row now, there every Thanksgiving. But before he came to the church, he would always go to Brother Woodward's house for Thanksgiving. And they would come in Thanksgiving week, like on Tuesday or Wednesday, and they would stay in Brother Woodward's house with Miss Cindy and the girls. They would have Thanksgiving dinner with them on Thursday. The Garrises have one son and one grandson. That's all they have. The son has been divorced, and so it's a son and a grandson. And they never had any granddaughters, and they kind of adopted Brother Dan's three daughters, Rachel and Rebecca and Ruth Ann, as their granddaughters. And they would bring Christmas gifts. And you know, they lived in the house with them. You know, Brother Woodward said, you know, he said, man, he said, I've seen Miss Judy with her hair messed up and in her moo-moo, you know, and I've seen all that. And they're very, very close. So when I found out that Brother Garris was given 2 weeks to live, I was talking to Brother Dan one day, and I said, are you going down to Tennessee? He said, yeah. He said, they've asked us to come down. I said, well, they figured they would. And so they left Tuesday afternoon. They went down to Cleveland, Tennessee, got there on Wednesday. And Judy had stayed with Brother Garris from the time that he was sent home. She hadn't left his side. She needed some groceries. She needed some other things around the house. So Cindy Woodward and Mrs. Garris left. And Brother Woodward said, Brother Garris said, Brother Woodward, would you stay here with me? So Brother Dan got to spend the night Wednesday night with Brother Woodward. I'm getting my names mixed up. Brother Woodward got to spend the night Wednesday night with Brother Garris and get to spend the day with him on Thursday. And during the night, he would sleep a while, and then he would wake up. And one time he woke up, and he said, Brother Woodward, can we pray together? And Brother Woodward said, sure. And Brother Garris began to pray in his distinct voice. Those of you that heard him preach over the years, there's nobody that talked like he did, you know. And he said, Lord, I'm in a tough place here. I'm caught between two desires. He said, I'm sick, and I have this cancer, and it's taken my life, and I know what's ahead of me, and I would love to come be with you, but then I have Judy here, and I have Scott, and I have Mark, that's his son and grandson, and I have I have my friends, and I have the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, and all those missionaries, not just here in the States, but now in the Philippines, Romania, around the world. He said, you know, it's kind of tough, Lord. God, give me grace. And Brother Woodward said, man, it was the most precious time. He never shed a tear. He shouted the best that he could with a weakened voice. He laughed. He praised God with Brother Woodward. He told me this morning, he said, Terry, he said, the grace was so thick in that room, you could cut it with a knife. So thick in there. The devil came around and said, well, all that you've trusted in is false. By the way, he'll do that. Here you are now, you're going to die. And all this stuff you've trusted is just make-believe. But the Holy Spirit of God inside Brother Garris assured him in a moment of confusion that the Word of God is true, brother, and there is no promise that God has made that he won't keep. Amen. Yes, sir. It was a precious, precious time. Now, that's what happens when you come down to the end after faithfully serving the Lord for almost 40 years as a missionary or other in other capacity as Brother Ron Garris has. I mean, brother, the grace of God is there. He's caught between a rock and a hard place. He's where the Apostle Paul was, where Paul said, you know, boy, Lord, I'd really like to depart and be with you. It'd be far better for me. But I got these. I guess it's needful for me to remain here. I'm not suicidal. I like my life. But boy, the thought of heaven and coming to be with you is a glorious thing. He's headed toward heaven. I want you to hear a tape. Brother Vineyard interviewed him. I just called him at the youth conference, and he gave me a copy of it. Those of you that were here last December, the first Sunday in December last year, 2005, Brother Garris was our special Christmas time evangelist. And who would have ever thought? He had perfect health. He ate dinner in our home, he and Miss Judy. Who would have ever thought that 8 months later, he would be days away from heaven? But that cancer, boom, and aggressive. And you'll hear it in his voice. He's very weak. He's not the same old bombastic Ron Garris that you're used to hearing. Brother Greg, let's play the tape. Let the folks listen to it just a few seconds long here.
I am taping our conversation. We're having our youth conference. Could you speak a couple of minutes to the teenagers?
Sure. Sure, Dr. Vineyard. Young people, I just want to say that Dr. Vineyard, Dr. Ross, Dr. Finn, all those folks there at Oklahoma Baptist of Windsor Hills has been such a blessing to my life. They've never hurt me. They've always helped me. They've always stood behind me. And I love them for it. You couldn't do any better in a school or a college. You couldn't do any better than you're doing right where you are. I just want to tell you that I'm grateful to be one of their missionaries, and I thank you, kids. I remember many of you well. We're doing okay. We're just waiting to cross over. The doctor said there ain't more to do. Just go ahead and follow the Lord, and he is comforted at every footstep. I don't have any pain today. Just waiting. If he calls, well, I'll be gone. I just want you to know it's worth it all, kids. It's worth it all. I've been down the road now, almost 40 years of missionary, and it's worth it all, kids. When you come to the crossing point, you'll see it's worth it all. God bless you. We love you. Thank you, Dr. Vineyard.
Thank you, Brother Garris. How old are you, Brother Garris?
67. We'll be this month.
67 this month.
Amen. It's a blessing, wasn't it? I enjoyed that when he said it's worth it all. When you come down to the crossing, he said you'll know that. Isn't that grace? Isn't that the grace of God, brother? Not laying there screaming and thrashing and crying and fretting around, all mad. You could tell in his voice, he was at peace with God. Amen. And at peace with where he is right now. He's headed toward heaven. He is in that stretch there betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better for him, and then having the thought of leaving people behind that he loves, headed toward heaven. And I got to thinking about that as we heard that tape this week, and I thought, you know, heaven has several different names in the Bible which teach us a little bit about what it's like. Let me give you some real quickly tonight. Turn to John 14, chapter 14, and look with me at verse number 2. I'm going to go to four places in the Bible, and we'll be done. John chapter 14, and verse number 2. Let me tell you where Brother Garris is headed, what it's like. The Bible has several names for heaven. You remember this passage? You're familiar with it? Jesus has told his disciples that he's going to be going away and they're troubled. And he starts to talk about heaven. He says in verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then he says this, in my Father's house. That's a name for heaven, the Father's house. Now, Jesus had just told his disciples he was going away. And to explain where he was going, he called it his Father's house. Now, you know the characteristic I get out of this is in that word house. Heaven is a place. It's a place. Jesus said, my Father has a house. His house is not located on a street with an address in this world. It is located somewhere out there beyond all those stars that I see at night. A little girl was out who grew up in the city, and all she'd ever known was the city, and she was out in the country for the first time with her mother, and they were out at night taking a walk around the place, and the little girl looked up and she saw all those stars and the beauty of that sky. And of course, her mom and dad had taught her about heaven. And she was out there and she said, oh, Mom, if heaven is so beautiful on the wrong side, what must it be like on the right side? Amen. And that's exactly true, friend. I mean, you know, God, heaven is a place. And Jesus said it's called my Father's house. My earthly dad has a house. He will own 3990 Linfield Court, College Park, Georgia. My dad will own that house as long as he lives there or until he dies. And my Heavenly Father has a house too. And he'll live there as long as he owns it or until he dies. And something just tells me he'll own it forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And when you come down to the cross, like Brother Garris says, it's a comfort to know that heaven's a place. Going to the Father's house. The Father's house is a big house. In it, the Bible says, Jesus said, there are many mansions. You ladies from Texas, God bless you. Boy, those folks from Texas, they're always so proud to be from Texas. Everything's big in Texas. You think Texas is big, friend? Huh? In the Father's house, there's many mansions. Amen. A mansion for every child of God. Huge place up there called heaven. Ron Garris is headed toward his Father's house. There is a mansion waiting there for him because heaven is a place. My Father's house. That's one of the names for heaven. Look at Isaiah chapter 57. Go back in the Old Testament. Let's pull one out of there this evening. Isaiah chapter 57 and look at verse number 15. I'll get my glasses on so I can read it when you get there. Isaiah 57. And verse number 15, first of all, Jesus said that heaven's called the Father's house. It's a place, a real place, and God owns it, lives there, and will never leave it. So there it is. It's a house. That's where Brother Garris is headed someday, where you're headed if you're saved, to the Father's house. But now look at verse number 15 of Isaiah 57. Notice what the Bible says. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Don't you like that phrase? I like that phrase. We have a big God. Amen. I mean, he inhabits eternity. Think about that. He inhabits eternity from eternity past through eternity present through eternity future. God lives in all of it at the same time. Look at it here. He says, whose name is holy, I will dwell in the high, I like this, and holy place. Heaven's called not only my Father's house, but heaven is called the holy place. God said he dwelt in the holy place. Now, the Father's house told me a little bit about heaven as far as what it is. It's a place. This tells me a little bit about the quality of life in heaven. We are going to a place that is holy. I'm glad about that. The truth of the matter is, people in this room, most of us, we would be disappointed if we got to heaven and saw a Budweiser truck running down the road. You'd be disappointed, wouldn't you? You say, this is not heaven. I had to put up with this mess on earth. This is not heaven. You'd be disappointed if you saw someone smoking a Marlboro. Or you saw the Marlboro Man advertised on some billboard. You'd be disappointed. It wouldn't be heaven. You'd be disappointed if you saw Joe's Bar and Pete's Tap. You'd be disappointed if you saw a billboard advertising the most, oxymoron there is, gentleman's club.
Gentlemen don't go to gentlemen's clubs. Gentlemen know how to control themselves and behave and do right. You'd be disappointed if you saw an advertisement for a gentleman's club or some adult bookstore, which you see those all the time now. It's becoming so prominent, even in this town right here. Stores going in that are absolutely sick and wicked. We'd be sick if we saw a casino in heaven. Wouldn't be heaven. No, we'd be sick if we saw a lottery machine. We'd be sick if we saw a movie theater. We'd be sick if we saw a woman in provocative clothing standing out on a street corner and trying to sell her body. I'm just simply saying, friend, we are looking forward to going to a place that's holy. Going to a holy place. Not going to an unholy place. It's called a holy place. But wait a minute. Not only will there not be any of those things that are unclean and filthy and vile, neither will there be any of those bothersome sins of the Spirit anymore either. And those are just as unholy as the other. I'm talking about pride. I'm talking about jealousy. I'm talking about envy. I'm talking about bitterness. I'm talking about a critical tongue or a tail-bearing tongue. All of those unholy things will be passed and done away with. They will be gone. We are going to a place the Bible says is holy. I'm glad we are. And I don't think that means we have to wear monk's clothing, shave our heads bald, and run around quoting mantras. I believe we'll be the freest place to have fun that there ever has been. Because, brother, there'll be no sin to put us in any kind of bondage. We're going to a holy place. We're going to the Father's house. We're going to the holy place. Back to the New Testament now. Ephesians chapter 5. Back to the New Testament and Ephesians chapter 5. Here's another description of heaven. Another name for heaven. As I thought about Brother Garris just a few days. Now, who knows? You know, only God knows his departure time. He may live on a month or two. You don't have any idea what it looks like. His days are few here on this earth. And he's looking forward to going. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 5. Notice what the Bible says here. Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance. Now here's another name for heaven. In the kingdom of Christ and of God. That's another name for heaven. The kingdom of God. Now, I believe with all my heart that the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of God are different. The Bible says he's looking forward to the kingdom of Christ and of God. The kingdom of God, that tells us who is sovereign in heaven. God is sovereign. He is the ruler in heaven. You see, the kingdom of Christ is set up upon this earth, on this planet. Jesus Christ will sit on the throne that's over in Jerusalem right now, and he will establish a 1,000-year kingdom reign on this planet. But it has a tenure. It's only 1,000 years long. There will come a time someday, the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 15, when Jesus will subdue everything. Everything will be put in subjection under his feet. And watch it. Then the Bible says that he will deliver the kingdom to God. You can read about that in 1 Corinthians 15. In fact, let me read for you verse number 28. The Bible says, and when all things, listen to these words, this is great. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, that's Jesus, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, that's God, that put all things under him. Who put all things under the feet of Jesus? God did. God did that. And one of these days that he might be that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Friend, God is going to be sovereign in his kingdom. He's going to rule and reign in heaven. The triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, will reign for all eternity. There'll be no end to that reign. There's no tenure. There's no cutoff date. There's nobody else that's going to come and take the throne by military coup. He will reign forever and ever and ever. No devil, no death, no cemeteries, no funeral homes, no black hearses, no crape on the doorknob, no broken hearts, no broken lives, no broken homes. Handel, George Frederick Handel put it this way. And he shall reign forever and ever. King of kings and Lord of lords forever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I say amen to that. Amen to that. It's called the kingdom of God. That tells us He is sovereign in that place that we're going to called heaven. And then over in Philippians chapter 3, it's called the Father's house. It's called the holy place. It's called the kingdom of God. And over in Philippians chapter 3, maybe this is the most favorite one. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20. Paul again is writing in this same book. And he says here in verse 20, "For our conversation is in heaven." That word conversation, not talking about communication, it's not talking about people talking to each other. That word conversation means citizenship. Paul said, "I am a foreigner here. But one of these days, I'm going," and here's the word, "home." That's another name for heaven. Home. You ever been overseas? Some of you have been in a third, no matter if it's a third world country or if it's a modern country like the United States of America. You ever been overseas? You feel out of sorts. I don't care if they speak English. I feel out of sorts in Canada. A lot of sorts up there. And then you go to the airport and you're sitting at the gate and you're getting ready to board the plane. And maybe somebody's sitting down next to you. Where are you headed? You know, I like to say, home. You come through the airport there, you go through the customs thing, the immigration there, whatever it is, and you go through the customs, and when you get past that, you get to the United States customs agents, and 99.9% of the time, you give them the passport and all the paraphernalia that goes with it, and they look everything over, and they stamp it, and they hand it back to you, and they say, "Welcome home." And there's no feeling in the world like that, man. Walking beyond that booth there, you almost want to just get on your hands and knees and just kiss the ground. There's nothing like coming home. Amen. And that's what heaven is. Heaven is home. You see, the longer you live for Christ, the more you realize you're not at home in this world. I just don't fit in. That's probably why Paul said, "I don't mind living. I enjoy my life. But the truth of the matter is, if I had the chance to go home, I think I'd take it." In the meantime, he says, "I'll continue to go on as a stranger and a pilgrim, serve you, Lord, be a blessing to people. But when the day comes you call for me, it's not going to disturb me too much to go home." That's my favorite name for heaven. There was a pastor, a guest pastor, who spoke over at the Winona Lake Brethren Church some years ago. And he was talking about, telling the congregation about his childhood. And when he was a boy, he got motion sick so horribly. Anytime they'd get in the car to go somewhere, he'd get motion sick. And he'd be sick. And it was embarrassing. I mean, it didn't matter if it was 5 miles or 500 miles. He'd get motion sick. And he said, he got self-conscious about it. It bothered him as a boy it would. Every time he got sick, it was a mess. It's a problem. And he said then, his parents and him would go for a ride with another family or something, get in the car and go somewhere together, inevitably he'd get sick. Stomach would be upset. He'd get sick, make a mess. His parents would apologize. "Oh, forgive us. He just gets this way." And your little boy, and they're talking about you and the mess. And he said it was just, he said every trip was just horrible. Every trip was horrible. He said his grandmother lived 100 miles from where he lived. In the summertime, his parents would drive that 100 miles, drop him off at grandma's house for a month. On the journey, bodily sick. Every time. Make a mess, have to stop the car. It was torture. But he said, he got to grandma's house, kicked my shoes off, ran around outside in the grass, looked at the wildlife that I never saw in the city. Come in from the outdoors. Grandma would have those old fresh baked pies there. And he said, she always answered my my request with the word yes. She never told me no. He said it wasn't many days there at Grandma's house. And I had forgotten all about that horrible trip in the car. That's what it's going to be like when you get home. The trip there may be a little bit difficult. You may get weary. You may get tired. You may go through some difficult times. It may be torturous in some cases. Friend, you give it just a little bit of time when you get home. All these difficulties in this life will pale when we get home. And that's where Brother Garris is right now. He's just about home. When he gets there, he'll forget all about those toils. What's that verse, that song we sing? Sometimes the days seem long. Trials hard to bear. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Because we'll be home. And the difficulties of this life won't matter. Amen? Aren't you glad you got a God that's going to see you all the way through? And when you leave this world, you go into the Father's house, the holy place, the kingdom of God, and best of all, it'll be home. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Simple message for us tonight. Dear Father, thank you so much for what your book teaches us about heaven. Thank you so much for salvation in Jesus Christ that gives us the promise of eternal life with you. It's the Father's house. It's the holy place. It's the kingdom of God. And it'll be home someday. It'll be home. What a great day that will be. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one is looking around. Is there anybody here tonight who said, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that heaven is going to be my home. If I died right now, I don't know where I would go. I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I don't know if I'd go to hell. I have no idea where my eternal destiny is. And that concerns me. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you this evening. I'm not sure that I'm headed to heaven. I'm not sure heaven is. Anybody like that here tonight? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking. If you're here tonight, you've been saved but never baptized, it's now the time to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. You come see Brother Caleb about that. Child of God, is it the road a little bit rocky right now? Is life a little bit weary? We never get tired of the way, but we do get tired in the way. You feel like a stranger and a pilgrim in this old world? Trying to live for God? We're not home yet. Be faithful. When you get home, the difficulties of this life will fade away, and they'll fade away quickly. Ladies, I hope you found the song, It'll Be Worth It All. It's in the book, isn't it? Amen. Let's be faithful. Let's occupy until He comes. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one is looking. As the ladies play the song of invitation, would you come tonight? If the Lord speaks to your heart, the Father's house, the holy place, the kingdom of God, and someday, home. That's what it is. Paul said, he said, for me to live is Christ, and if I live here, I'll enjoy the fruit of that life.